coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey LeBounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. I'm Corey LeBounty. Rick Cleveland's on assignment this morning. Joining us always, the one and only Coach Mark Lasseter. Dalton Orwig on the boards, doing a great job producing the show. Phillip on the phone lines. You can reach us throughout today to tell us about the high school football playoffs. Basketball's getting ready to get started. It started this past week. We're excited to get the round ball going, but you can reach us at 251-343-0106. And again, if you haven't noticed, it's definitely football weather. The temperature dropped last night like a rock, and there were some field conditions that kind of changed the way that games were played, but we're going to jump right into our statewide and local football scores. We're going to go into 7A this morning to begin the show. In Class 7A, Lee Montgomery comes down and defeats the Region 1 champions Theodore Bobcats 13-7. Auburn defeats Fairhope 34-23. Central of Phoenix City blanks Davison 46-0. McGill Tulane, they come away with the win against Prattville. Caleb Ross brought his Lions down here, and McGill Tulane prevails 17-13. Up north in North Alabama, Hoover defeats Bob Jones 26-18. Mountain Brook blanks Austin 31-0. Hewitt Trustville defeats James Clemens 43-41, and Thompson defeats Florence 45-14.
All right, now, Court, is that correct? Isn't this what we said was going to happen? Hoover, Mountain Brook, Hewitt, Trustville, and Thompson all in the same region.
Yes, sir.
And they swept. I'm going to tell you something. Doing that in 7A football is unbelievable.
It really is, Coach.
That's unbelievable.
And we talked about the struggles of 7A Region 1 with McGill Tulane being the only team in the history of 7A that was created 3 years ago that has ever won a first-round playoff game.
Right.
And you talked about the strength of it. That is amazing.
That is amazing. Okay, in 6A, Hueytown 38, Eufaula 17, Saraland 42, Stanhope Elmore 14, Bessemer City 21, Park Crossing 13, Opelika 38, St. Paul's Episcopal 20, Wetumpka 49, Daphne 21, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa 10, Sidney Lanier 3, Spanish Fort 38, Ben Russell 0. While I'm on Ben Russell, I got if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it. There was a fine coach and good friend of myself and Rick, Coach Savarese, and all the guys in Alex City by the name of Henry Hicks that passed away last Sunday afternoon with a massive heart attack. Henry, 64-year-old man, had retired, but had coached at Goodwater High School before it became Coosa Central, and then he coached at Benjamin Russell. So his funeral is today, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And all of the kids that he touched for all those years at both Goodwater and at Benjamin Russell High School. Thank you, Henry, for all you've done. And deepest sympathy to you and your family. Okay. Where did I leave off? Okay, McAdory. McAdory 17, Carver of Montgomery 0, Gardendale 21, Fort Payne 14, Homewood 24, Athens 14, Pinson Valley 47, Albertville 0, Muscle Shoals 10, Minor 7, Hartsell 35, Pelham 7, Clay Chalkville 45, May Jemison 6, Decatur 35, Jackson Olin 32, and Oxford 42, Hazel Green 14.
And in 5A, Ramsey beat Charles Henderson 36-7. Jackson over Chilton County 21-14. Greenville beat Fairfield 44-12. and Bibb County over Citronelle 21-13. Demopolis beat Faith Academy 41-13. Pleasant Grove over Beauregard 42-21. Viger season keeps rolling along. They beat Central Tuscaloosa 45-8 and Briarwood Christian over Valley 42-28. Madison Academy beat Alexandria 18-15. Central Clay County 34, Corner 8. Etowah 33, Gunnersville 0. Centerpoint over Russellville 22-8. Jasper beat Sylacauga 34-20. Southside Gadsden over Brewer 15-9. Mortimer Jordan 17, Dora 3. East Limestone 53, Boaz 33.
In Class 4A, Alabama Christian defeats Lincoln 18-14. Hillcrest Evergreen 35, Sipsey Valley 0. Headland 13, Talladega 12. Andalusia 28, Montevallo 8. American Christian squeaks by Williamson 15-14. Montgomery Catholic defeats Hopeville 41-13. UMS Wright defeats West Blockton 43-8. Trinity Presbyterian 14, Hanley 7. Aniana 43, Brooks 34. Dar 36, Northside 30. Jacksonville 39, Rogers 21. Good Hope 62, St. John Paul II Catholic 28. North Jackson 47, Curry 6, Hokes Bluff 38, Central of Florence 14, Fayette County 26, Randolph 8, Deschler 21, Anniston 7.
In 3A, Winfield 40, Houston Academy 3, Flomaton 40, Montgomery Academy 14, Oakman at Pike County, the game is postponed until Monday afternoon. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Kind of a very strange happenings there. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Thomasville 7, Beulah 0. St. James 38, T.R. Miller 7. Providence Christian 31, Lamar County 6. Mobile Christian 42, Pike Road 14. Gordo 21, Wicksburg 0. Westminster Christian 42, Weaver 27. Midfield 32, Pisgah 14, Piedmont 41, Clements 0, J.B. Pennington 14, Susan Moore 7, Geraldine 29, Holly Pond 14, Randolph County 53, Lauderdale County 6, Fultondale 37, Plainview 6, Sachs 56, Colbert Heights 0.
And in round 1 and 2A, Daleville over Realtown 26-21, Leroy over New Brockton 42-14, Abbeville shuts out Vincent 56-0, Luverne over Southern Choctaw 14-0, Highland Home 63, Chickasaw 28, Lafayette 40, Geneva County 6, Cottage Hill Christian shuts out Goshen 26-0, Aireton over Thorsby 41-14, Fife shuts out Cleveland 63-0 to remain undefeated, Colbert County 49, Tarrant 6, Ohatchee 47, Cedar Bluff 12. In overtime, Red Bay beats Winston County 16-14. Addison over Soligent 56-6. Ranburn 32, North Sand Mountain 24. Aliceville blanks Sheffield 26-0. And Collinsville over Westbrook Christian 35-21.
Class 1A, Lynette defeats Florella 54-7. Marengo defeats Isabella 58-20. You also had Georgiana defeating Not a Soldier 41-34. Maplesville defeats Sweetwater 35-12. Linden defeats Millery 55-14. Elba over Billings Bisley 54-19. St. Luke's Episcopal keeps getting it done 48-16 winners over Francis Marion. Wadley over Brantley 35-24. Mars Hill Bible 55, Marion County 0. Donahoe 59, Coosa Christian 14. South Lamar 41, Phillips 6. Winterboro 28, R.A. Hubbard 14, Fauntville 35, Talladega County Central 6, Pickens County 57, Cherokee 0, Spring Garden 40, Decatur Heritage 7, Waterloo 20, and Hubbardville 15. Some great high school football first round playoff matchups last night, and you know, some interesting scores, and we'll go into the second round playoff brackets here after we talk to a couple of our guests, but there's going to be some great matchups in the second rounds also. Dalton does a great job of getting us prepared each and every week with our sheets, letting us know what our matchups are going to be. And you look at still the undefeated teams that are remaining in the playoffs. In 7A, there's only one, Central of Phoenix City. In 6A, Hartsell is the only team remaining. 5A, Etowah. 4A, you have UMS, American Christian, Jacksonville, and North Jackson that are undefeated. In 3A, Westminster Christian and Winterfield are the undefeated opponent or teams in 3A. In 2A, Fife and Ohatchee. And in 1A, Fauntville, South Lamar, and Linden. So each and every week, you'll see those numbers continue to dwindle down as we get ready to jump into week number 2 of high school football playoffs. Coming up next on the Prep Sports Report on FM Talk 106.5, we will have Cottage Hill Warriors head football coach Chris Brazil joining us to talk about their first round matchup win last night and also them getting to the playoffs for the first time in AHSAA history. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip on the phone lines. And joining us right now on the phone lines this morning is the head football coach at Cottage Hill Christian Academy, Coach Chris Brazil. His team, ranked number 8 in the polls, got a 26-0 win over Goshen in the first round of the playoffs. And I know Kingdom Stadium was rocking last night. Had the first opportunity to host AHSAA high school football game there on campus, and I know you had to bring in extra bleachers, but the atmosphere and leading up to it, Coach, had to be spectacular. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having us.
Coach, talk about your game last night. I know you got off to a slow start and really your team picked it up early, but nonetheless, you got a 26-0 win over Goshen in the first round of the Alabama High School Athletic Association playoffs.
Oh, yeah, it was a great night, not only for our school, but our football program to have the opportunity to host a football game, a playoff game. We talked to our guys early in the year. That was one of our goals, not only to get in the playoffs, but host it. And Charles V. Lane Stadium was electric last night. We got off to a slow start, you know, but that was expected, you know, first time being in the playoffs and so forth. But we'll take a ugly win at this point in the time, and we'll take 4 more ugly wins to get us to Auburn for sure.
You're absolutely right, Coach. You know, and first of all, let me just congratulate you again on what a great season you guys have had and what y'all have done there. And, you know, I look at that, and I know all of us coaches look at those rankings and we throw them out the window, you know, but I'd hate to see the other 7 teams ahead of them. I've seen Cottage Hill, and they got a really, really good football team, well coached. In all facets of the game. And so I want to applaud you again, Coach. What a great thing that's been. And I know how exciting that was last night. So after all the excitement and all the hoopla happens around that ball game, what is your biggest job now between now and Monday and Tuesday getting ready to play the second round of the playoffs?
Just keeping our guys focused and keep everything in mind what we're trying to accomplish. Fortunately, we're pretty healthy at this point, so that is a blessing this time of the year. But you know, we really don't know too much about Ayrton, and we're going to have to go on the road. But fortunately, we've had some long road trips this year. We opened up at Florella week 1, and then of course going to Southern Choctaw. So our guys are used to loading up on that bus and traveling a long way. But that's the main thing, is just kind of get a good game plan in place. And our guys are excited, and that's what it's all about. And we're just very thankful to be able to be moving on to the second round.
I know Grant Woodruff had a wonderful night running and rushing the football for over 169 yards and a touchdown. But you look at the offensive side of the football, along with Grant, you have Corey Alexander, your quarterback. You have Flip Rudolph. When you have those type of weapons, you know, what does it do to the mentality of your coaching staff going in, knowing that you do have kids at the 2A level that play both sides of the football, but the explosiveness that you have also with those guys on either side of the football?
Yeah, offensively speaking, Coach Trentino, offense coordinator, does a phenomenal job. You know, Grant was coming off being bummed up a little bit bruised up from the week before in the St. Louis game. So he was limiting his touches, and boy, did he cash in last night. He had six carries for 169 yards on the ground and four catches for 22 yards and two big touchdowns for us. Corey's able to extend plays with his legs. And you know, last night it was a sloppy, wet track, you know, and it was a quagmire. And I hate to see what the field looks like when we get back in town from traveling back from Montgomery today. But you know, Flip had three catches for close to 80 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, we was trying to think of creative ways to get into footballs. We gave it to them a couple jet sweeps and so forth. But we always tell our offense we're one play away. One play away from getting back into the thing. We never think that we're out, even if we're trailing. Yes, our offense, it's fun to watch for sure.
Well, Coach, we just want to congratulate you on a wonderful season thus far. Again, your team moves to 10-1. We'll travel to Arrington for the second round of the playoffs. And, again, a historic season with you taking over in your first year as the head football coach. And I know you have an outstanding staff and an administration that includes yourself, and the community and the fan support has just been phenomenal this entire year. So congratulations to the Cottage Hill Warriors.
Hey, thank you, Coy, and happy belated 30th birthday, man. Appreciate all you guys do for high school sports in our area, and thanks for the kind words, Mark, and appreciate all you guys do.
Thank you, buddy. Good luck, pal.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
That's man, Coach Chris Brazil. Season those guys have had.
I mean,
I'm going to tell you something.
Historic.
I saw those guys. I watched them play, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to see the seven teams that are supposedly better than they are. I'm just telling you, they are a very, very, very good football team. And I think they got some games coming up. I don't know anything about Arrington or what they've got, but whatever Arrington's got, I hope they got both barrels loaded, because they're going to have a hard time stopping that bunch from Cottage Hill.
Arrington beat Thorsby 41-14. They were winners. So, you know, two teams that had good first-round matchups and not relatively coasted, but were able to win in a pretty much dominating fashion.
And,
so,
and you're right. And like he said, by winning in a dominating fashion like that, Corey, he got a lot of his players out of the ball game. And because, like Coach said, you know, one of the biggest keys this time of year is how healthy you are. If you stay healthy, you're able to keep from, you know, you don't have kids beat up and hurt going into the next round. So that's a big deal.
Let's take a look at some of the round two playoff matchups now. In Class 7A, Lee Montgomery will be at Auburn. McGill Tulane will be traveling to Central of Phoenix City. And, folks, that's going to be a matchup that I've really been looking forward to, because in the semifinals 1 year ago, McGill Tulane traveled up to Central of Phoenix City and was able to win that game by 1 point and put themselves in the state championship game. We've been talking about Central of Phoenix City all year long, and I think all coaches through 1A through 7A has said that Central of Phoenix City probably has one of the best, if not the best, football program in the state of Alabama this year. And that tough 7A region also, Mountain Brook at Hoover, Hewitt Trussville at Thompson. Those matchups are going to be pretty special next week also.
All four of those teams have played each other. You know, they've all played early on, and they're all in the same region. So that's, I mean, I look at that deal and I go, Lord have mercy. I would love to be up there to watch either one of those two games.
And that's just in 7A. I think, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Hewitt Trussville and Thompson were on TV a couple of weeks ago, and
that's correct. They had an absolute shootout
because,
yes,
you had Paul Bryant's, yes, great-grandson as well as Tungavailoa, and that was a made-for-TV matchup.
Yeah, I think Tungavailoa led them back from 28-7 down or 28-0. It was a huge
28-0
comeback.
28-0, and they ended up scoring 63 points.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
Hey, that's going to be a great second round matchup, another shootout.
Yeah,
so don't think
fun.
That those two teams haven't been thinking about each other.
And Mountain Brook Hoover's going to be a dandy.
Outstanding as well.
I mean, guarantee. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Mountain Brook was the one that beat Hewitt Trussville earlier on. I think they beat Hewitt Trussville. I don't know how they did. Hoover beat Mountain Brook, though. I do believe that's correct. I haven't got my schedules in front of me or my scores, but I think that's great. Nonetheless, that's going to be two great football games going on at their time. McGill and Phoenix City will be a good one. And Robert E. Lee's playing really good football here at the end of the season
But they have to go to Duck Sanford Stadium in Auburn and play Coach Adam Weingarten's team, who they have got a really, really good little football team. And, you know, last night Fairhope went over there and got behind early, came back, closed the gap, you know, and got within, I think, 3 points, but just couldn't get enough done to win the game. But Coach Weingarten's got a good football team. And I want to give a shout-out to my buddy Tim Carter on a great job. He's got a young football team over there at Fairhope. Got to keep an eye on them over the next couple of years because they've got a good bunch coming, and they're going to be tough to deal with over the next few years.
Speaking of that Hoover matchup, you look at Hoover, their only loss was in the region was to Hewitt-Trussville. They lost 56-28. So that's a situation that's how that played out.
What was that score?
56-28, Hoover lost. Hoover lost to Hewitt at Trussville early in week number 4.
Okay.
And that's an interesting situation.
When we come back,
don't go anywhere. We'll continue to talk more high school football with Derek Scott. His team got a huge win last night at Pritchard Stadium. The Wolfpack trying to win a 5A state championship. We'll talk about the importance of the number 8 and the Vigor Wolves when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this morning. Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwick, and Philip on the phone lines taking your calls at 251-343-0106. Some outstanding first round high school football playoffs action last night here in the state of Alabama. And we want to hear from you about what game you decided to go to. If you decided to brave the elements last night as the temperature dropped, not only here along the Gulf Coast, but in the entire state of Alabama. But somebody who did not care about the field conditions at Pritchard Stadium last night because his Wolfpack team is just hungry to get out there and play any and everybody this entire season. The Vigor Wolves defeated Central of Tuscaloosa 45-8 last night. And joining us on the phone lines this morning is head coach of those Vigor Wolves, Derek Scott. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Cole. How are you doing this morning?
Too blessed to be stressed. Thanks for joining us this morning on your way up to your coaches' meeting in Montgomery. Talk to us about the game last night, Coach. You had a Central of Tuscaloosa team coming down to Pritchard Stadium to play. You guys really rose up to the occasion and played well.
Yeah, our guys are really excited about the opportunity to go represent the Pritchard community and our school and our fan base in the A-to-A playoffs. So it was an opportunity to go out and play. Our guys came out and played well. That's a good Central Tuscaloosa team that was a big team. They were very big up front and a physical team, and we matched. They came out and matched their intensity and matched their physicality.
Again, you won 45-8 last night. It's been very important for Kyle Walker to get into your system, your quarterback, and play well. This is his second year starting at quarterback, and Jalen Witsit really got the ball running and had the effectiveness to have 3 rushing touchdowns. I know a week ago against the Williamson Lions when I broadcast that game, Al Whedon and myself, you weren't that happy. You were happy with the win, but you weren't happy with the way you guys executed and played. Was that a different story for your team this week?
Totally. That last regular season game against Williamson, which is pretty credit to Coach Sumpter and his staff. They're always a very good team and very well coached, and those guys really get up to play us, and we try to match their intensity. Well, we won the game, but there were some things he just weren't clicking on that night, and for whatever reason, I can't put a finger on it, but we didn't play to our potential. I was very, disappointed at our performance.
Coach Scott, congratulations on a great win and a great season so far. You guys have had a really, really good season this year, and Corey's kind of put the monkey on your back there about what y'all supposed to do this year. He picked y'all to win it all right off the bat, way back in August. So I just wanted to throw that on you, Coach, so you have a little bit more pressure, you know, going into this week. You don't, not like you got enough, but Corey wanted to throw a little bit more on you.
Well, you know, hey, I think everyone is kind of throw that old monkey on our back. But the thing about it is that when you have an opportunity to go and play and represent the Viking Wolves, that type of expectations on you every year. And that's the type of thing that, you know, high school athletics, you want the opportunity to play for it, and you want the opportunity to play well and to represent and people expect you to play well. So it comes along with the territory, but we just want to go out and be 1-0 at the end of the week. That's our expectation.
That's exactly right, Coach. You know, and you're looking now for a big ball game coming up against Briarwood Christian. You know, this is a big ball game. They got one of the better teams in the state, and they coming down to your home place, and it ought to be a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of like what high school football is all about, and it ought to be a lot of fun for you. Do you know anything? I know you probably hadn't seen them on film yet or anything, but what do you know of Briarwood Christian?
Well, you're right. I haven't seen them on film yet, and I'm kind of anxious to get started on that process. But what we do know about Briarwood Christian, they're traditionally a very good football team, extremely well coached. With Coach Yancey, he's one of probably a legend in the state of Alabama for his coaching ability and his prowess. So his reputation for the season. So his team is always going to be well prepared and play extremely well. So we have a huge challenge in front of us that we must match and get prepared to go play in.
Coach, you had a dominating defensive performance, but let's talk about this number 8, Coach, and what it means to this Wolfpack family. In 88, state champions. In 08, state champions. Let's take a look at 2018, Coach. Is it the number 8? Is there something going on there that just may make some type of magical history with that number 8?
Well, you know, it's right there in the record book for you. So, you know, you gotta kind of recognize something about it. But we're more concerned with what 2018 has to do and what it needs to be on a weekly basis to be successful. So, yeah, there is some added incentive there, some added history there and tradition there in that, and we're just blessed to be a part of it at this moment, and we want to go and represent it well. And represented to the level that those people before us, with traditional Micah has done. So that's our goal, is to go and represent it well.
Coach, is there something about this Viger program that the public may not know that you want to share about? What makes this team special? What makes the Pritchard community special? And what sense that you got from your guys this year? I know you have a large contingency of seniors, just this group that has battle-axed it out with you from day one.
Well, that is kind of our deal. When I walked in the door in 2015, those guys walked in as well as freshmen. And it's a testament to what they've been able to deal with, and especially with me, because I'm pretty tough on them. You know, I'm not the guy that, you know, I push pretty hard, and I set coaching staff. I get kudos to them. We have a great coaching staff, and I'm proud of those coaches that we have on our staff that push these young men every single day. And just what I like for everybody to know is just how hard these guys work. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. Sometimes we're not in control of the media and what media puts out there about your school and your environment a lot of times. And so I just like for everybody to know these guys are just high school kids, the normal kids that are, you know, in high school that are trying their best to go and represent themselves and their community at a high level and enjoy the game of football like every other high school player does. And they go out there every day and put in that work that people don't get a chance to see, you know?
Well, Coach Scott, just want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity on your ride up to Montgomery this morning to the coaches' meeting to meet with us on the Prep Sports Report and to talk and share about your Wolf Pack. And just want to wish you the best of luck next week against Briarwood Christian. And I hope everyone comes out to Pritchard Stadium and really supports this Wolf Pack team, because every week we get less and less amount of teams and less football to go watch. And if we can pack out Pritchard Stadium, it's a huge game. This same Briarwood Christian team and this franchise or this organization played St. Paul's in the state championship game a year ago, and I know they have a new group of seniors also, but really come out to Pritchard Stadium next week and see Pritchard Stadium packed with Wolfpack the green and white. I know you'll love to see all that green and white in the stands, Coach.
Absolutely. We really need it. And last night, you know, it was the elements kind of got into play, and we didn't have that crowd that we would have expected for a home playoff game. and we really need that opportunity to have a home field advantage in this next round with the stands packed from all the way through. So that'll be a huge sight for us as well as for this community. And we need that support. Those guys, it really does something for them. They're a little bit behind. You got the support of the community and the city behind you. And we really need that from all neighborhoods and all backgrounds. If you're in the city of Mobile, please come out and support these young men because they are representing the city of Mobile, with Mobile County and the city of Pritchard.
Thank you so much, Coach. Appreciate you for joining this morning, and good luck.
Good luck, buddy.
Hey, no doubt. Thank you guys for all you do. I appreciate you for having me on. And, have the opportunity to have Biker High School on.
Good luck, buddy. Man, I tell you what, I'm so proud for Coach. I really am. He embraces what I think is one of the most important things about Vigor is the tradition and the history of football in Pritchard, Alabama. It is a viable part of who they are. They love that school. They love that football program they have for years and years. I've heard stories of Coach Clark was there about teachers getting loads of buses to go to playoff games. Teachers from the school. Not just fans. I'm talking about teachers who taught those kids in the classroom would get a bus together, get on that bus, and go watch those kids play. And, you know, that, to me, spoke volumes of what that program is all about. And Coach Scott has embraced that, and he brings that up several times throughout this little interview. I heard him say many times about the tradition, the history, the people who played before, you know, and what they expect. And that's awesome to me. And I think he's embraced that, and those kids know that. And I'm just so happy. You know, first of all, Coach Scott's one of the finest people I know. Just a good man, good coach, been that way everywhere he's been. Just wish him the best of luck.
And again, it's important to come out and support high school football because you look across the board, UMS Wright is traveling to Trinity. Cottage Hill is also traveling to Arrington. You look at Mobile Christian. Mobile Christian will host a playoff game. And then you turn around, you look at Vigor hosting also. In Class 6A, Saraland will be traveling to Hueytown. Opelika's at Bessemer City. Wetumpka at Hillcrest Tuscaloosa. And McAdory will be at Spanish Fort. That should be an outstanding game next week also on the Hill as Spanish Fort just absolutely obliterated Benjamin Russell, and it was over in the first quarter 21-0. Homewood at Gardendale, Muscle Shoals at Pinson Valley, Clay Chalkville at Hartzell. Hartzell is 11-0, Clay Chalkville's 10-1, and you have Decatur at Oxford. I'm really looking forward to seeing the winner of the Clay Chalkville Hartzell game. That ought to be an outstanding game in North Alabama next week. Class 5A matchups, Jackson at Ramsey, Bibb County at Greenville, Demopolis at Pleasant Grove, Briarwood Christian at Vigor. That'll be at Pritchard Stadium. Central LeClay County at Madison Academy. Etowah at Center Point. Southside Gadsden will play at Jasper. East Limestone at Monomer Jordan. And in Class 4A, you'll have Hillcrest Evergreen, the defending state champion, playing at Alabama Christian. And Hillcrest Evergreen, I do believe, was the defending state champion in 3A, and they moved up to 4A. Headland will be at Andalusia, Montgomery Catholic at American Christian, UMS Wright at Trinity Presbyterian, Aniana at DAR, Jacksonville at Good Hope, Hoke's Bluff at North Jackson, and Deschler at Fayette County. That's your 7A through 4A pairings. When we come back on the Prep Sports Report, we'll have Trent Massey from Future Ones, and Coach Mark Lassiter will present our Future Ones Scout Team Player of the Week. Don't go anywhere.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The PSR Scout Team Player of the Week is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty. Rick Cleveland on assignment. Mark Lassiter joining us this morning as always. Dalton Orwig running the board. Phillip on the phone lines. You can join us at 251-343-0106. And this segment has been special all season long. This is the Future One Scout Team Player of the Week segment. And going to take an opportunity to get a young man by the name of Jack Smith represented as our Future One Scout Team Player of the Week. He's a young man from Bayside Academy, and who better to tell us all about this young man and why he's deserving than our one and only Coach Mark Lassiter.
You know, and Corey, I just am thrilled to be able to recognize this young man for all he's done this year at Bayside. Jack is a young man, he's a junior, and just a hard worker, very conscientious young man on and off the football field. And he's one of those guys that you just know if you ask him to do something, he's going to do it. It's done. You know, and that's going to carry him far in this life, long after football's and high school is over. Being that accountable and doing the things he's asked to do is huge. And that's what he does at football with us. He plays wide receiver for us. And when we run our first team defensive team periods or 7-on-7 periods, Jack always, you know, puts his hand up with Coach Lefford, asked for the scout team guys to simulate the other team's offense. He's the first one there to do run routes and he's going to do everything he can to make us better defensively by how he does things. And he's a guy that you never have to worry about whether he's going to be there. You never have to worry about whether he's going to do his job every day as best he can, because he is. And I'm so happy that Jack is going to be able to receive this award for the Scout Team Player of the Week, you know. And this is for the week that we played Satsuma. But it's been all year long for Jack. He's done this week in and week out all year long. So without further ado, I'm just so proud of Jack Smith, wide receiver for Bayside Academy. Also plays soccer. And there's nothing he doesn't do around that school. He helps every teacher, anybody who needs it. He's always there for them. And that's the kind of kid he is. And we're very fortunate to have him at Bayside Academy.
Jack Smith, our Future One Scout Team Player of the Week. Congratulations. And who better else to talk about Future Ones than Trent Massey. Trent, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Trent.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Future Ones, there's a lot of excitement going around. It's basketball season. You have softball and baseball season right around the corner. But Future Ones is just not an interchangeable practice jersey anymore. We also have full game day apparel and can meet your equipment needs also. Tell everybody about a little bit more about Future Ones.
You know, it's been a great journey. We have, like you said, we've evolved from an idea with a scouting football jersey that's been in, you know, over 15 colleges now. D1 schools are wearing it, to a lot of high schools wearing our game uniforms for football and basketball and baseball. And so we've definitely evolved into a full apparel company, and we have some exciting things on the way for next year. We have some big announcements coming for our company, and just, you know, we've been blessed to be able to get to this point, but we are really looking forward to the next couple of years and just being that company in Alabama that provides custom quality uniforms at affordable prices and be able to compete with all the big boys around town.
And it's just not football uniforms. We're talking about basketball uniforms. We're able to do softball and baseball uniforms, full sublimation available, whether it's your travel suits, whether it's your warm-up suits, whether it's your parks and recreation teams that need basketball uniforms or baseball or football or softball uniforms. You're able to meet those needs, as well as equipment. If you need basketballs, bats, baseballs, any equipment that you may need, Future Ones is also able to provide. Give us a way that we can get in touch with you and reach out to you at Future Ones, whether it's on social media or a telephone number.
We have a lot of people connect with us on Twitter, and that's a good way to connect with us. Facebook is also a good way. The website, www.futureones.com, that's the word future, the number one, and s.com. You can get on there and send us some information as well. Check out what we have. And always you can call 251-367-0747. And also, all you guys that know old Corey, you can give him a call.
That's right. You can reach me at 251-689-2629. That's 251-689-2629. Future Ones, handling all your athletic apparel, game day needs. We do compression. You can have shooting shirts, any type of design that you can think of. Future Ones, we can provide it for you, as well as your equipment needs, and we can get them to you for great low cost. And again, it's a mom and pops type business. This isn't one of your big dogs. It's local. Trent Massey and Gus Smith, two guys, started Future Ones and just proud to be part of that Future Ones family. And thank you for your support of high school athletics, and not only high school athletics, the coaching clinic we had a couple of weeks ago. Put those coaches in at the Mitchell Center at the Alabama Basketball Coaches Association Coaches Clinic. Those coaches look real good in the Future Ones apparel also, Trent.
Thanks, Corey. And, you know, we really appreciate the opportunity to do this for the scout team guys. A lot of those guys, like Coach Lasher said, they don't get all the recognition that they deserve a lot. So we really enjoy doing this Future One Scout Team Player of the Week, and it's just been a way that we can give back to those schools as well. So we appreciate the opportunity.
You know, Trent, and that, you're so right on that. And as I think about this award, the Scout Team Player Award, to me, the guys who usually get that award are the guys who are going to help build your company 10 years from now. They're going to be the guys who are always there to help build whatever company you are running, or you want somebody who's going to do the dirty work and not complain about it, guy who's going to do it very good, he's going to make sure it's done right. Those are the Scout Team Players of the Week. Those are the guys. They're going to do that. They know how to do it. They know what it means. That's why they get this award. And so I am so thankful that you guys present this award every week, because it does give those guys who are unheralded, you don't see a whole lot of things about, read them in the paper or whatever, but this is a way that they get recognized, and it also gets their name out there for the future when somebody needs to hire somebody, you know.
That's right. You know, one thing just real quick, and I know we need to wrap it up, but everybody says, how did you get the name Future Ones? Well, Future Ones, remember, we started as a scout team jersey company. So that's a lot right. of those guys on the scout team are your number two players. So they're the twos, but they are your Future Ones. And so that's how we even came up with the name of our company, is Future Ones. So just a little history on that.
That's awesome, man. I like that. I like that.
Trent, just thank you so much for taking the time this morning and all your support of high school athletics. And, again, just collegiate athletics and across the board, Future Ones, wear the future. Thanks, Trent.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome stuff, man.
And, you know,
that business is taking off.
It really has, and it's going to continue to grow. So we're excited to be part of the Future Ones family and, you know, look forward to the bigger and better things continuing to come down the line, and we'll keep you posted. And, again, if I can help you out, if you have any needs from uniform or game day apparel or any type of sublimation you need done, we can meet those needs at Future Ones. And you can reach me at 251-689-2629. When we come back, our number two, we'll give you a rundown again of our local football scores here in the first round, as well as your round two playoff matchups. You can reach out to us also at 251-343-0106. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LaBounty. Rick Cleveland is on assignment this morning. Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwick, and Philip taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106. We just wrapped up round number one of the Alabama High School Athletic Association football playoffs. Last week, we had our volleyball champions crowned, and we had those volleyball coaches that were state champions on the phone with us last week. That was McGill Tulin winning a volleyball state championship in 7A. Of course, Ann Schilling wins the state, her 17th in a row at Bayside Academy. She's a volleyball champion. And we also had Coach Boykin on from Spanish Fort 1 week ago. Again, congratulations to those young ladies and coaching staffs for being state champions. Three state champions out of seven is very impressive.
That's right. And, you know, this morning, if I'm not mistaken, is the cross-country state championships in Moulton, Alabama. And there'll be kids running all over the place. If y'all have never been to that cross-country event, it is something else. I mean, there's kids running that race in every classification, boys and girls, and, I mean, giving it all they got up there in Moulton, Alabama. It's a long drive, but it's a good trip. It's a good trip, and we're wishing all those kids up there the best of luck.
Look forward to talking to some future, hopefully, local coaches who will win a cross-country title with their team. So it's always outdoor track and field is always exciting this year. I know Pat Galley at UMS Wright had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him about a couple of weeks ago. And here's a coach who I think he said he's been at UMS Wright for 46 years. That's just amazing. And all the state titles, when you look that he's won, along with Jim Tate at St. Paul's, you have two tremendous coaches from an outdoor track and field standpoint that includes cross country that are continuing to get it done and bring those red and blue maps back to their schools.
That's exactly right. And, you know, those guys, you know, cross country doesn't get all the accolades that football and basketball is not one of the big three sports. You know, you don't get a whole lot of accolades about it. But I'll tell you what, those kids pay a price to go out there and run and participate in that sport. It is a very difficult sport, and it takes a special person to do it. And then Pat Galley and Coach Tate have just done unbelievable jobs at their respective schools for a very long time. And not only have they trained great athletes, they've trained people. And they've trained those people to be better people. And that's really what our job is. And those guys do a great job at it. And so good luck to all those cross-country coaches and athletes today. And all you people driving to Moulton, Alabama, driving home today, be safe.
They're going to have to weather the elements as it's a little chilly this morning.
Chilly in Moulton, Alabama.
That's right. And joining us this morning on the communication lines is Glenn. Glenn, thank you for calling the Prep Sports Report this morning.
Good morning. Just real quick, I wanted to just mention real quick that tomorrow at 3:30 at Christ United Methodist Church is our special needs family service. So if you know anybody that has a special needs family member that would like to attend a special needs service, it's geared just for them. We'd love to have anybody, for that matter. It starts at 3:30 at Christ United Methodist on Greelock Road. And I'm just curious what the score was to the theater game last night. I didn't hear it this morning.
All righty. I'm getting ready to run down those scores right now, so thank you for asking about that Theodore score. Theodore lost 13-7 last night over Lee Montgomery, and here are your Class 7A Round 1 playoff results. Lee Montgomery defeats Theodore 13-7. Auburn defeats Fairhope 34-23. Central of Phoenix City blanks Davidson 46-0. And I'm going to speak on that score for a moment right there. Just the overall season at Davidson, and Sean Smith getting that job August 6th, taking over and getting the Davidson Warriors into the playoffs. It was just a tremendous job done by Coach Smith and his coaching staff. Davidson Warriors in their season with a 46-0 loss to Central of Phoenix City. McGill Toulon defeats Prattville 17-13. Caleb Ross had an opportunity to come back and coach against the team that won the 2015 state football championship in 7A. Again, McGill Toulon 17, Prattville 13. In Class 6A, Saraland defeats Stanhope Elmore 42-14. Opelika defeats St. Paul's 38-20. Wetumpka beats Daphne 49-21. And I just got a stat earlier this morning that this is the first losing season for Daphne since 2009. But again, Kenny King and his staff got his team in a winner or get in game last week against Blount. They were able to get into the playoffs. So congratulations to the Trojans for extending that streak. Just a tough way to end their season. You had Spanish Fort defeating Benjamin Russell 38-0. In Class 5A, Jackson defeated Chilton County 21-14. Bibb County beat Central Neal 21-13. Vigor defeated Central of Tuscaloosa 45-8. In Class 4A, UMS Wright defeated West Blockton 43-8. American Christian defeated Williamson 15-14. In Class 3A, Mobile Christian defeats Pike Road 42-14. Class 2A, Cottage Hill blanks Goshen 26-0. And in Class 1A, St. Luke's defeats Francis Marion 48-16. Those are your local scores right here from along the Gulf Coast in Mobile and Baldwin County. Now let's switch it over a little bit and look at our round two playoff matchups, and there's going to be some great games in round two. You look at Class 7A, Lee Montgomery will be at Auburn. McGill Tulane will be traveling to Central of Phoenix City. You have Mountain Brook at Hoover, Hewitt Trustville at Thompson, and that rounds up Class 7A.
In 6A, you have Saraland, which will be traveling to Hueytown this Friday. Opelika will be at Bessemer City. Wetumpka at Hillcrest Tuscaloosa. McAdory comes to Spanish Fort. Homewood will be at Gardendale. Muscle Shoals at Pinson Valley. Clay Chalkville at Hartsel. Decatur at Oxford.
And in Class 5A, Jackson's got a tough one on deck playing at Ramsey. Ramsey 10-1 this season. Bibb County plays at Greenville. Demopolis at Pleasant Grove. Vigor at Pritchard Stadium will be playing against Briarwood Christian. Madison Academy hosts Central Clay County. Etowah plays at Centerpoint. Jasper hosts Southside Gadsden. And Mortimer Jordan hosts East Limestone.
Hillcrest Evergreen in Class 4A will be at Alabama Christian. Headland at Andalusia, Montgomery Catholic at American Christian, UMS Wright will be traveling to Trinity Presbyterian, Aniana at Dar, Jacksonville at Good Hope, Hoax Bluff at North Jackson, Deschler at Fayette County.
In 3A, Flomaton will travel to Winfield, Oakman or Pike County will play at Thomasville, Providence Christian at St. James, Gordo at Mobile Christian. Midfield will be at Westminster Christian, Piedmont at J.B. Pennington, Randolph County at Geraldine, and Fultondale at Sachs.
In Class 2A, Leroy goes to Daleville. Daleville, Luverne plays at Abbeville, Highland Home at Lafayette, Cottage Hill Christian goes to Ayrton, Fife, they're still undefeated, they play at Colbert County, Ohatchee will host Red Bay, Ohatchee still undefeated, Addison hosts Ranburn, and Collinsville plays at Aliceville.
In Class 1A, Marengo will be at Lynette, Maplesville at Georgiana, Elba at Linden, Wadley will be at St. Luke's, Donahoe will be at Mars Bible. South Lamar will take on Winterboro. And Falkville will host Pickens County. And Spring Garden will host Waterloo. And those are your matchups for round two. And there are some interesting matchups. Again, we talked with Coach Derek Scott earlier about a matchup with Briarwood Christian at Pritchard Stadium next week. And at some time in the Alabama Sports Writers Association polls this season, Vigor was number one and or Briarwood Christian was number one. So that is a very tough and great game to go out and support if you love high school football next Friday night at Pritchard Stadium. We mentioned the 7A matchups that are going to be fun to watch also. Mountain Brook at Hoover, Hewitt Trustville at Thompson, Central of Phoenix City hosting McGill Tulane. I know that game right there is going to mean a lot because you look in the past 3 years, McGill Tulane has represented the South in Class 7A football, and since we've gone to seven classifications, McGill Tulane has been the only representative from the South. Central right. Phoenix City is going to try to change that. We're going to switch gears a little bit coming back on the Prep Sports Report. High school basketball got started this week, so we're going to talk to Philip Murphy from the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets. They had a tournament that started on Wednesday, carried over to Thursday, and will be held today. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty, joined by Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig running the boards, and Philip on the phone lines. That phone line is going to be the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line. And joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line this morning is the head boys basketball coach at McGill Tulane, the one and only Philip Murphy. Coach, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
outstanding coach. I tell you what, in this change in weather, you know that basketball is definitely in the air, and your McGill-Tulane tip-off tournament started this past Wednesday on the boys' and the girls' side. A lot of basketball action, a lot of exciting teams getting their season started, having an opportunity to see one another play, and it's just that time of year to where round ball is getting ready to get started, Coach.
Yes, it is, and it's been a good week so far.
You guys have a tournament there this morning and today also. Tell everybody a little bit about the McGill-Tulane tip-off tournament, and then we'll go into the Yellow Jacket team that you have this year.
Well, it's a unique tournament in that, you know, there's not a lot of venues for tip-off tournaments, and it's something we started years ago because the Thanksgiving and Christmas markets were flooded. So we started it, and we had a little trouble gaining interest in boys' teams because everybody said they were missing guys with football or just getting them back from football. And so we finally convinced enough guys that, hey, it's a good time to throw whatever you've got out there and get guys reps and learn how to win and build a bench. So we've had a lot of teams doing that. We got a lot of teams this week that are in that situation or have just got guys back, and they're battling and getting better, and that's all it's about right now.
Coach Murphy, you're entering, I do believe, your 12th season as the boys basketball coach at McGill-Tulane. And these last couple of years, you've had a lot of success. But this season, you're returning 9 players from last year's team that had an opportunity to make it to the Final Four. And this is one of the largest and lengthiest teams you've ever had. At our high school basketball media day, you talked about playing a little different style, showing a little zone. Tell us a little bit about your team this year.
Well, we did return quite a bit. Not many guys with a lot of experience. You know, we lost 5 of our top 6 on 4 starters. So, yeah, we do have some size. We have some guys that, you know, have just grown over the year. We have some guys that were just kind of sitting and waiting last year. And then we have an incoming freshman that's added some size to us. But, yeah, we're definitely a different team. And right now we've got we don't have a lot of experienced guard play, which is, you know, something that you know, we could see this week in our games and being pressured, and we had problems with that. But yeah, we're going to play different. We'll play a lot more zone, just to be able to keep some of those guys on the floor matchup wise. So and we'll play a little bit more methodical in the half court. You'll see a lot more post in and out and high low stuff than you've seen in the past.
Coach, you had a couple of games under your belt. Who did you play earlier this week?
Played Baldwin County on Wednesday and played Saraland on Thursday. So both groups were had good size and athleticism, and both groups pressed us and got after us, which is what we needed, and then exposed what we've been seeing at practice for 3 weeks, that we struggle handling the ball.
It's an opportunity also. You all play this afternoon. What time are the games starting this morning at McGill-Tulane? Because, again, this is a boys and girls tournament that's being held at your school.
Yeah, we start at 11 this morning. And to be honest, we don't have it in front of me, but we start with 2 girls' games. They've got a traditional bracket. And then we finish up with the last game starting at 3:30. That would be us and Blount. I know that our girls and Blount girls are in the championship at 2. So, and then we've got the other matchups. We got Baker, we got St. Paul's, as I mentioned, Blount, Saraland, Faith, and MGM, all competing on the boys' side.
Coach, you're talking about the growth of high school basketball that is needed down here in this area. For some reason, you've looked in the past. Besides your state championship run and win that you had a couple of years ago, most of the blue maps really go to the above Montgomery line. I've been puzzled myself trying to figure out why that is. I mean, LaFleur girls won it, you guys won it. Why is it that somehow North Alabama basketball seems to overtake some of the talent that we have down here in the southern part of the state?
Well, I mean, the simple answer to that is there's more focus. There's more focus that's put on it. You know, I think we get, and this is not a knock, but especially on the boys' side, you know, we get, you know, a lot of football dominant stuff and extra work on that side. And I think sometimes it takes away from it. And that's not a knock. It just means that the football's been really good down here, right. and those kids have to, you know, gravitate towards something that's changing here with our basketball, and I think you're seeing that. I mean, I don't think you're seeing it. You are. The last 5 years, you've seen a big change in our basketball here at the local high school level.
And that's something that has to excite you, Coach, because I know, you know, you play your seasons in thirds. The first third, you probably play without some of your football guys because of the traditional long run that you guys have made the last 3 or 4 years in football. And that's a situation to where a lot of schools down here are dealing with and really don't get into full swing probably until January, the beginning of January. And that's when area tournaments get ready to start the second week in January. So in that situation, it does kind of put some teams behind the eight ball, but you at McGill-Toulon have found a way to persevere, and that's actually made your team stronger and deeper for postseason runs.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's, I mean, you know, and I tell coaches around here all the time, it is frustrating not to play with a full deck, but at the same time, you got kids that are getting a lot of game reps and experience that they wouldn't get otherwise, and when you get to the postseason and those guys have got to play, whether it's injuries or foul trouble or whatever, they're ready to go. So, again, yeah, we take it as a positive. I like the formula. I hope our football team goes all the way again so that we can continue to build this depth. And I think everybody else should embrace it as well.
Coach, do you have any seniors or any type of leadership that you would like to comment on so far that have really propelled, or anybody in general that fans would pay to watch outside of the McGill-Toulon program that you've seen play so far?
Well, I've got senior Matthew McNeese. You know, he's started for us since his freshman year. He's an exciting player. Guy plays hard. He's not necessarily going to put up huge scoring numbers every night, but he does all the other stuff. If you're a true basketball fan, he's a kid that's fun to watch. Big Cole Rue, junior for us, 6'8 junior. He's fun to watch. He's a kid that's still developing, still trying to figure it out, but there's a lot of excitement around him and what he can do. And then we've got a freshman in Barry Dunning that is a very special talent. The kids come in, he's worked hard, he's very humble, he's excited about being part of our program. But, you know, those three, I would say, would be guys that people outside the realm would, you know, like to come see. But overall, our team, come watch them. They all play hard and get after it and try to do it the right way.
Well, Coach, just want to thank you so much. And I know through the Alabama Association of Basketball Coaches, this sport is going to continue to grow and multiply itself and be fruitful from the grassroots on up through the high school level. But thank you. Look forward to talking to you on the Swarm segment every other week and getting updates on the progression of McGill-Toulon basketball.
No problem. I appreciate y'all having us on.
Coach Philip Murphy, the head boys basketball coach at McGill-Toulon. And if you want to get out of the elements and want to have an opportunity to go watch some great high school basketball on the girls and the boys side, go out to McGill-Toulon today and support local high school basketball as they put on a wonderful tip-off tournament. And there's some exciting players here to watch locally. He just mentioned Barry Dunning, the dynamic freshman who has an opportunity, folks, to be very special. He has a Kevin Durant frame, but has the ability to fill it up, so look forward to watching his progression each and every year. And of course, I saw Coach Carla Berry and her Yellow Jackets team play, and that's going to be a great game between them and Blount this afternoon at McGill-Toulon also. And high school basketball is here. We'll continue to keep you updated each and every week, not only with scores, but have you talking to coaches and players, as there's some great stories. I know I read an article that Ben Thomas wrote this week on Douglas Juli. Went through a brain procedure last year. Wasn't sure if he was going to live or not. So look forward to talking with him in future weeks. And Murphy doesn't even have a basketball home this year. They're playing all their games on the road. So some interesting stories to tell in basketball and high school basketball this season, and look forward to sharing those with you guys. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Corey LeBounty sitting in for Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip taking your phone line or phone calls at 251-343-0106.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, and Corey LeBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this morning. I'm Corey LeBounty, holding it down in Rick Cleveland's big chair this morning, and it's been a pleasure bringing you guys high school sports. If you have sports scores from first round of high school football action, if you have any scores that you would like to hear us give you, give us a call at 251-343-0106. We'll love to hear from you on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line. Again, locally, wasn't a lot of success last night by our 7A Region 1 teams. McGill Tulin is the only 7A Region 1 team that was able to find a way to win. You had a couple of 6A schools to go down. St. Paul's and Daphne both lose last night. And 5A, a little success with Vigor moving on, and Jackson as well. In 4A action, UMS Wright continues their trend, and we make fun off of the air about they gave up 8 points to West Blockton, and we know UMS has only given up 2 offensive touchdowns all season long, so that defense.
But I don't know how they scored.
It'd be interesting to find out how West Blockton did.
I'll tell you what, Jay Cozio has done a fantastic job as defense coordinator there at UMS Wright. He's got a good bunch, but what they do better than anybody I've seen this year is play hard with reckless abandon. I mean, they play the game the way it's supposed to be played. So good luck to Jay and Terry and all that bunch over there in the weeks to come.
Mobile Christian comes away with the win over Pike Road 42-14. Cottage Hill defeats Goshen 26-0. And St. Luke's will move into round 2 of football action, winning 48-16 over Francis Marion. And can't let a Saturday morning go by without talking to our main man, Scooter, who's on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line. Good morning, Scooter.
Good morning, Corey. How you doing?
Outstanding, Scooter. Too blessed to be stressed.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Scoot. How are you, buddy?
McGill Tulin rolls along, but they're going to meet their match in Phoenix City, ain't they?
That's going to be a tough ball game. That's going to be a good ball game because McGill is well coached. They do a really good job at things that they do. Phoenix City is going to bring in a bunch of really good athletes, and they're also well coached.
If it was at the Whippet, it would be packed.
Oh, yeah. It would be packed.
And McGill Tulin's going to travel well, Scooter.
T1, I know it's a high school show, but doesn't Christian McCafferty remind you of Tom Rathman?
Hey, he's a big bruising back. He's not as big as Tom Rathman from
he's
the San Francisco
faster,
49ers,
though,
but he's definitely
Tom.
Faster. Yeah, definitely
Tom's
faster.
Tom's got a Super Bowl ring, though.
Yes, he does.
Speaking of Tom, is there any quarterback in the league better than Brady?
Aaron Rodgers. But didn't show it last week.
That's
but
true.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers.
And there's a kid coming on at Kansas City who's going to be pretty special. If he
Patrick
stays.
Mahomes?
Yes. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a dandy.
Best quarterback Kansas City says since Winnie Dawson, ain't he?
That's probably Lenny accurate.
Lenny Elser is pretty good. Throwing
Didn't
the ball to
Winnie
Otis
Dawson
Taylor.
Purdue?
I'm going to take your word for whatever you say, Scooter. You're the trivia guru.
I got a trivia.
Purdue has great quarterbacks. Lenny Dawson, Bob Greasy. Drew Brees?
Yes, sir. I got a trivia for you, Scoot. You ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready for Corey's
fine. He needs to pay up, doesn't he? All right. How many national championships and SEC championships did Alabama win in the 1970s?
They won 3 national championships, 78, 79.
That's correct. And 73.
Well, they shared that with Notre Dame because they lost to Notre Dame on
that's
the Sugar Bowl right here.
That's correct. Do you know how many SEC championships they won?
Every one but 2. 70 LSU beat them out, and 76 Georgia beat them out.
Scooter,
that is unbelievable.
Never
I knew you'd get
amazing.
The national champion. I didn't think you'd get the SEC. They won 8 SEC championships.
I tell you what, and they had a great broadcaster named John Forney.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Give
Who's
us that
your favorite all-time SEC announcer, Larry Munson?
Larry Munson was really good. He was.
I tell you what, and every time Herschel Walker ran the ball, there goes Herschel.
That's right. Give us that poop. Give us that skunk, Scoot.
Woo!
You got to love Scooter. He's our Saturday morning breakfast each and every Saturday morning.
Yes, sir.
Also, you know, you have some SEC football that's going to be played today and some great matchups that we always love to talk about on Saturday mornings. Anytime we're talking football and SEC time, we like to give our predictions on these matchups, and we'll take a look on our sheet that Dalton provides for us each and every week. Thanks, Dalton, for doing that. South Carolina at Florida, Muschamp having an opportunity to go back down to the swamp.
Yeah, and Florida favored by 6 points in that game. But like you said, the storyline with Muschamp coming back, and then the Gators coming off back-to-back losses. I think that Florida finally snaps out of it, but I think it's a close one, like a field goal game.
I think Florida wins, too. I agree.
I like Florida. That's a consensus to where Florida does win a close one because they really need this one. I mean, you know, you looked at the success that he had early, and Mullen, again, losing back-to-back games in shocking fashion. I think he has a point to prove in the swamp.
And then there was a bit of a quarterback controversy in Florida. There was about to be one between Kyle Trask and Felipe Franks, but Trask injures his foot, and now right. He's out for the year this week in practice.
Right. Yep.
Next game we're going to take a look at is one I know my mom's going to be eyed and glued in on, and she's made the trip up to North Alabama to visit her sister and want to tell my mom I love her and glad she had safe travels. Vanderbilt at Missouri.
And both these teams are really close to bowl eligibility and could really use this one today to get closer to that six-win mark. I think Missouri has 5 wins now, and Vanderbilt, they either have 4 or 5.
Right.
But each team needs this, and Missouri beat Florida last week. I think Missouri beats Vanderbilt in this one, but I think they do it pretty handily, too. I think they beat them by a couple touchdowns.
I think last week I picked Vandy over
Arkansas.
Yeah, and Vandy's getting better. Vandy's getting back. I don't know if I can go with them 2 weeks in a row. I think Missouri's got too much offensive firepower, and I think that Missouri will win this ball game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Missouri Tigers also. Sorry, Mom. It's just it's at Mizzou, and Mizzou has something to prove. Our next game in the SEC, Ole Miss at Texas A&M.
Yeah, and Texas A&M favored by 2 touchdowns even after they blew that 10-point lead to Auburn last week. So I guess the big question today is how they respond after that awful loss. But I think they'll run all over Ole Miss. I think you'll see a big day from Kellen Mond today also. I think Texas A&M wins big.
I agree. I think Texas A&M wins. I think Ole Miss is in a bad place. You know, they got nothing to play for. They're not being very successful. And it's just tough. It's a tough time for Ole Miss right now. But I think Texas A&M wins handily.
We're agreeing 3 for 3 right there because I'm going to go with Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies also. The 2:30 game on CBS, the Mississippi State Bulldogs travel to Tuscaloosa and take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama, a big-time favorite in this one, as they've been all year long.
Yeah, they're favored by 24.5 points right now. And yesterday I spoke with Phil Savage a little bit before we tried to go on the air for Mobile Mornings. Unfortunately, Phil was stuck in airport land where he couldn't figure out if his flight was going to be delayed or not. And as soon as we started to speak, they had to board the plane. But before he got off the phone with me, he said he thinks Mississippi State is a tougher matchup for Alabama than LSU was just because Nick Fitzgerald is at quarterback. But I've seen games where Nick Fitzgerald has thrown for 20 yards. I think 3 games this year where he was held under 100 yards passing. And I don't see how a quarterback like that even has a chance at beating Alabama, especially with how close the game was last year. So I think Alabama wins big, and I think Tua is out of the game before the fourth quarter.
I think Alabama's going to win this ball game, but I agree with Phil. I think it's going to be a little bit harder game than many people want to think it is. Because Mississippi State matches up in some places good against Alabama. Their defensive front is very good. They were noted for their defense at the beginning of the season, how good they could be, and they have at times shown that they can be very, very salty. They got a really good defense. Their offense is very mediocre, and that gives Alabama a big advantage, in my opinion. However, Fitzgerald, if he gets hot running the football, can cause you problems because then you got to take one of those safeties down to play the run. And when you take one of those safeties down, if you can't stop the run and you're too high safety, which Alabama likes to do, and they only have play with the one high safety, then that can cause them problems in the passing game. And so, but the passing game is not real effective. But they do throw a lot of 50-50 balls. They got tall receivers. And they could, you know, they could hurt Alabama some places. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Alabama wins handily.
I think Alabama wins handily also. They're going to make the adjustments. Fitzgerald looked abysmal a couple of weeks ago against LSU, and there was a couple other games that he has struggled in also. And I just think this Bama defense is not going to buy into the rat poison. They're going to step it up. Fitzgerald may have a little success today, but not much. I do like Alabama in that game. Another game we're going to cover today and take a look at, LSU at Arkansas. I personally don't think the LSU Tigers are going to have any problem defeating the Razorbacks.
No, Arkansas 2-7 this year, but, you know, LSU, if they have a fall off after losing so big to Alabama last week, if they do have that, you know, if they look over this game, this could be Chad Morris's first signature win. We could be looking back at this in the future if he remains the Arkansas head coach, but I just don't see it happening. I do think it's closer than people will think it'll be, but I still see LSU winning this game.
I agree. I think LSU will win. If they play well, they'll beat the socks off Arkansas.
And the last game to look at right here locally, Louisiana Monroe at South Alabama at 4 o'clock p.m. at Ladd Peebles Stadium. It's homecoming at South Alabama, so it's going to mean a little bit more for the Jaguars today.
Yeah, and over your shoulder, College Game Day, that was one of Bear's picks this morning. You know, he picks three games a weekend, and he picked South Alabama to cover the 7-point spread against Louisiana Monroe. You know, it's been a tough season for South Alabama. Defense has given up a lot of points, and I see that maybe continuing today. I think we could see a shootout at Ladd Peebles Stadium, but I think Louisiana Monroe a little too much for the Jags.
I'm going to take the Jags today. I think they got a point to prove, and I think they're going to have to do it, and this is the time to do it. And so I'm going to take the Jags today.
I'm going to take South Alabama also. I mean, homecoming, you've had an opportunity to kind of look and evaluate yourself. So I'm going to go with the Jaguars in a big win today at homecoming. And just some great other action, a couple other games. They're going to start off early, Ohio State at Michigan State, 10 versus 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's going to be awful weather conditions there in Lansing, which means I think we'll see a dirty defensive game there, really low scoring one. I think Michigan State might pull off the upset.
I'm taking Ohio State today.
Somebody told me it was going to be cold up there in that part of the world, and I'm going to go with Ohio State. Clemson at Boston College.
Clemson
big.
I'm going Clemson.
What about
big
Georgia also. Auburn? I want to know the other thing.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the games that we were going to talk about here. I like Georgia.
I like Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia wins that one too. But it could be a big win for Malzahn.
Good luck
to
Troy.
How these go.
Good luck to Troy today over in Savannah, Georgia. Good luck, Troy Trojans.
We'll see what happens there also. The Prep Sports Report will be right back in our Camp Gray segment right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment. Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Phillip holding it down this blustery Saturday morning. And hope everybody bundles up. If you're going out to watch college football today at Ladd Peebles Stadium, make sure you stay warm. And again, you have to love this time of year because you know that Thanksgiving's around the corner. Christmas definitely is in effect, but our favorite segment each and every week on the Prep Sports Report is the Camp Grace segment, and Coach Mark Lasseter does an outstanding job each and every week bringing us this message.
You know, today I wanted to talk about something that's kind of been weighing upon my heart lately. It's about struggles that every one of us faces in some way, shape, or form, and sometimes we don't know struggles that other people may or may not face. But I got a little story I'm going to read, and we'll talk about it afterwards. It's called The Butterfly. A man found a cocoon of a butterfly. One day, a small opening appeared. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through the little hole. It suddenly stopped making any progress and looked like it was stuck. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, although it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man didn't think anything of it and sat there waiting for the wings to enlarge to support the butterfly. But that didn't happen. The butterfly spent the rest of its life unable to fly, crawling around on tiny wings and a swollen body. Despite the kind heart of the man, he didn't understand that the restricting cocoon and the struggle needed by the butterfly to get itself through the small opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings to prepare itself for flying once it was out of the cocoon. Our struggles in our lives develop our strengths. Without struggles, we never grow and never get stronger. So it's important for us to tackle challenges on our own and not always rely on the help of others. I read that because in the world of sport, which all of us, you know, this is where, this is the arena that I live in, is the world of sport. Now, that doesn't consume my life, but I spend a lot of time in the world of sport, watching it, listening to it, talking about it, coaching it, and just being a part of it. And it's been good for me. It's how I made my livelihood. But as I looked through it and I started thinking about struggles and talk about, you know, we're in playoffs, you know, and we were talking to Ann Schilling last week and the struggles she went through and is going through outside the world of volleyball, outside the world of sport, and she kept talking about what it had done for her, how much stronger she had become. And it goes, and I look around at these different schools and teams that are in the playoffs right now, and I look at kids at our school, at school that I teach at, who I know there's struggles going on in their lives outside of sport that other people may or may not know about. And it's, you know, we have to let them go through that. I have to let my own kids go through struggles and hard times to make them stronger on the other side. It's okay to ask for help, in my opinion. It is okay. Sometimes we just got to say, I need help. I think it's a big, big deal. But there are also times where me as a mom, dad, teacher, coach, whatever we are, got to let that child struggle. Let them face failure and then help them to learn from it on the other side. There are kids whose parents are sick, whose parents have problems, whose parents have split, you know, and they have to find their way through that. And we have to help them do that, but we can't do it all for them. So as I think about this butterfly and how the guy was with a kind heart, was trying to help, thought he was helping, but in essence, he really hurt the butterfly by stepping in and doing it for him. Too many times I have stepped in for my own children or for students I've taught and done it for them rather than let them face the struggle so they can get through it on their own.
Coach, I agree 100%. You look at the evolution, like you just talked about, of the caterpillar. It goes from the crawling stage to getting inside its cocoon, then to blossoming as a butterfly. And that's just the transformation that not only our kids deal with, our student athletes, us as adults, we deal with it too. We're always evolving and changing. And just because you see that beautiful butterfly, it doesn't mean that that butterfly did not struggle to get to the point where it is. And doesn't mean that it's not continuing to struggle as a beautiful butterfly. So that process is just so heartwarming. And we see our kids, our own student athletes that we have the opportunity to coach, go through that evolution from coming in as a freshman or as an eighth grader. And by the time they graduate and the lessons that they've learned, not only on the field or on the court, but off the field and off the court as well. Because so many times I've seen freshmen come in, not know the importance of ACT scores, and then by the time they hit a junior, they've blossomed into the student athlete because they know that's their motivation.
Yeah. Words well said from you, Coach Lester, and you, Corey. I do want to put our prayers out here from Prep Sports Report. Player out of Mississippi from Greenville High School died 1 week after breaking his vertebrae during a game. He passed away yesterday. Jeremiah Williams, junior defensive back from Greenville High School. He broke his C1 and C4 vertebrae a game a week ago against Madison Central. His coach, Sherrod Gideon, said that he was injured attempting to make a tackle. But our prayers out to Greenville High School and the family of Jeremiah Williams, who passed away yesterday. And something that we talked about earlier in the show, but I wanted to come back to because we didn't get to it. What exactly happened? Why was the game, the one game delayed in Alabama, Oakman at Pike County yesterday? Delayed till 2 p.m. today.
The wall inside the visitors' locker room fell on the Oakman players. Five of those kids were taken to the emergency room there in Brundage. I think it was Brundage. They were taken to the emergency room there. We haven't got any reports on how they are or anything about the kids.
But because of that, the game was postponed until Monday at 2 p.m., I do believe. It's Monday at 2.
And that's a situation to where, again, you know, postponing it to Monday is a tough decision, but it's the right decision at the end of the day. It does make it tough for those young men to have to battle through and worry about their players, and hopefully next week we'll keep you updated as to the status of those young players that were in it. But a wall inside the visitors' locker room at Pike County High School collapsed, and it injured several members of the Oakman football team, and because of it, you know, they had to go to the Troy Regional Medical Center, and we here at the Prep Sports Report definitely give our prayers out to those young men. And the young man who passed away in Greenville, I do believe that was in Greenville, Mississippi, to where this young man lost his life playing the game that he loved. And again, our prayers and thoughts not only out to him and his coaching staff and that whole school's community, but also to the players that were injured at Oakman last night. So again, our thoughts and prayers from the Prep Sports Report.
And our thoughts and prayers again to Henry Hicks, his family, former coach at Benjamin Russell High School, passed away on Sunday. His funeral is today, so remember them in your prayers.
You've been listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Corey LeBounty, Coach Mark Lassiter, Dalton Norwig on the board, and Philip on the phone lines. Thanks for joining us this morning.